This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. The lawsuits are flying from former students of two unlicensed boarding schools in Missouri that weren't subject to state oversight. Former students of Agape Boarding School and Circle of Hope have sought to expose the operators of these schools where they allege students were subject to years of abuse. A cattle prod was used against one student. Problems with the schools were so severe that the General Assembly passed a law that Governor Mike Parson signed last July that gives the state new authority over the schools. Said one attorney in the case, "This is the stuff of nightmares involving some scenes that could not be shown in a slasher movie." Now a conversation with two of the victims of these homes, which were located just miles apart, and we caution you, some of the talk here could be tough to hear. With us, Robert Buckland is a survivor of abuse he suffered at Agape in Stockton in southwest Missouri. He attended the school from 2007 to 2012. Robert, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And Amanda Householder is also with us. She's the estranged daughter of the owners of the former Circle of Hope Girls Ranch, now closed. The owners were her parents. Amanda is suing them for forced labor and beating her for their own sexual gratification and for making her punish other students. Amanda, good morning to you as well.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
I should point out that we reached out to Agape for comment and received no response. Amanda, why did parents place their kids at these two schools? What were they hoping to achieve here?
Some of the kids that were sent away needed help with mental health issues. Some of them really needed help. Like one of my friends got sent there for she had bipolar disorder, and so she really needed help with her disorder, and that's not at all what happened. They did not get the help they needed.
You know, Robert, people will wonder why these situations at both schools could have gone on for as long as they did. What's the answer to that?
You know, there was just no oversight. Last year, I could have started a school in my basement in Missouri and have 100 or 200 kids in my basement. And as long as I labeled it religious, I wouldn't have to file with the state. So the state would not know that it even existed.
Amanda, what's your sense of this?
That is exactly it. My parents worked at a place in Florida, and then they eventually moved to Agape in Missouri. And the reason, while we were at Agape, they were talking about opening a school, and before they were planning on opening it outside of Missouri, but once we got to Agape, they realized these laws protect the school and not the kids. And so they stayed there because there was no oversight on religious programs in Missouri. And so that is exactly, in 2004, Jim Clementson did an interview with KY3 News, basically saying if any oversight was ever put into place, they would up and leave the state. So they specifically chose Missouri because there was no oversight for religious programs.
But Amanda, just to reemphasize the point, all that's changed now with the new law that Governor Parson signed.
Correct. That changed in July with the help of survivors and my organization, Troubling the Teen Industry. We got that law signed into place July 14th, 2021.
Robert, tell us how you wound up at Agape.
So my parents were doing a lot of research. I grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut, so over 1,000 miles away. And I was actually placed on a waiting list for a school in Utah. But my mom thought it was urgent to send me away right away. And, you know, Agape told her it would help me, or a religious school. And, you know, they didn't even take a tour of the school. Huh. They just sent me there.
Well, why was it urgent in your parents' eyes for you to get away from home? What was going on?
I had four sisters, and I was the oddball out. You know, didn't really get much attention from my, more so my mom. My dad didn't want to send me away, but my mom was the one who made that decision.
And what year was this?
I got sent there in 2007 for about 5.5 years.
Yeah. And back in Connecticut, then, were you misbehaving? Were there issues with, you know, what was going on at the house or what was going on?
So in my lawsuit against Agape, saw the reasons why my mom sent me to Agape, and it's stuff Robert hid candy wrappers under his bed, or asking too many questions, or not paying attention in school. He's scared of the dark, you know, normal behaviors that most kids at 13 do.
I was going to say, that's just regular stuff. Yeah. So what was it like for you at the beginning of your time at Agape boarding school?
From beginning to end, it was just a nightmare. Honestly, it wasn't, you know, it was all bad. It wasn't great at the beginning, bad at the end, from day one to the day I left.
What was bad?
You know, there was so many different things that happened there. You know, I saw kids try hanging themselves. I tried drinking bottles of chemicals. They would restrain kids, four adults on top of kids, just beating them down for anywhere from an hour. And I think the longest I ever saw it happen was 9 hours. They would commit hate crimes.
9 hours of beatings consecutively, you're saying?
Yeah, they would have to change out the staff, do a rotation. And literally just, they had a room called the Padded Palace, that all the walls were padded and the floor was padded. And they would do whatever they wanted to do.
When he says padded, it was just a really thin carpet. So it wasn't like it was actually padded. It was just carpet. It was enough for them to say it was padded, but they were getting slammed up against like really thin carpet. It wasn't really padded.
Huh. Robert, describe to me the first time that you realized something was wrong at Agape. Do you remember a moment right after you arrived that you began thinking, what am I in for here?
I think one of the very first things I saw was, you know, I think a fight between two students had broken out, and all of a sudden there's like 8 to 10 staff members just throwing kids like against the wall, like all over the place. And that's when I like really feared, like I'm in the wrong place, and there was no way I could talk to anybody to get help.
Could you talk to your parents?
No, I could not. Everything that was said to my family was censored. You know, there's a letter I wrote that I have here when I was 15 years old to my family, and it says, there's no point of living life if you have no friends. These dumb Baptists say Jesus is your friend. Then why am I so miserable here? I hate it here. I've learned so many perverse things, and it just goes on and on. And at the top, like the staff wrote on top of with a sticky note saying, this letter needs to be changed. Like there's everything, all outward communication was censored. Like you had to write how happy you were at the school. You know, if you would get in trouble if you wrote anything bad.
So that letter never got sent is what you're suggesting.
Correct.
And other boys were reacting in similar ways, Robert? Does that go without saying?
Oh, yeah. I would say hundreds of boys, at least. You know, I was there for 5.5 years, so I saw a lot of different horrible things go on there.
Yeah. Well, Amanda, let's turn to your situation because it's similar in some ways and yet very different. It's different because, as I said, your parents were the founders of Circle of Hope, but they originally were at Agape. Why did they form Circle of Hope?
So in the early 90s, they started working at a place in Florida. And when they were in Florida, they were talking about opening a school. We left that first place in Florida to go originally open a school in like 1996. That didn't happen. My dad's sister and my sister ended up passing away in a car accident. And really fast after that, we went back to that home in Florida. And then that home in Florida started getting more liberal, where like girls could wear shorts, the boys and girls could talk, and music. Like we were allowed to listen to Christian rock at that time. My dad didn't like that. And in a newspaper, he saw an advertisement for a position at Agape boarding school. And so we went to visit Agape for a weekend. when we got to Agape, it looked, honestly, it was great. Like, they had all these animals, all the boys, like, at the time, like, the 3 days we were there, the boys were not getting punished or anything like that. It just seemed like this really cool place. So we decided, my parents decided to go work at Agape. And so once we got there, that's when everything started changing. And you could see that the boys were being abused. And basically how I was being abused at home behind the closed doors, the boys were being abused the same way at Agape. And so my dad flourished there for, I'd say, 3 years until they started going a way my dad didn't like. I don't know exactly what was happening. My dad just didn't like it. From my understanding, Brian Clemenson was taking over Agape, and my dad did not want to work under him. And so from 2005, we started traveling all of southwestern Missouri trying to find a place to open up Circle of Hope. And then one day we went to this church in Gunnigan, Missouri, and this little old man basically gave the property Circle of Hope is on to my parents. And that's how we opened up Circle of Hope. The boys from Agape were brought over, and they did all the hard labor, tearing down all the fences and stuff like that to prepare it for Circle of Hope. My dad said that he didn't want to open a boys boarding school because Agape was there, and he didn't want to take away from Agape. So that's why he said he opened a girls' school. But the thing is, Agape also has a school called Wings of Faith, which is a girls' school as well. So I truly think my dad opened up the girls' school for his own sick perversions, now looking back at it. As a kid, I did not think of that. But now, looking back at it, I think he could control the girls different than he can control the boys. And so that's why Circle of Hope was opened.
What was the thinking, if you can call it that, behind your father's discipline? Again, quotes around the word discipline, abuse of the boys at Agape. What was he thinking that he needed to do to treat them the way he did?
So Agape, That was Agape's training manual. He literally, the first home in Florida was not at all like Agape. There was abuse there. It was spankings and other forms of abuse, but it was not physical like that. So Agape had all of that put into place for my dad. And so my dad took the blueprints of Agape and opened up Circle of Hope with what Agape did.
And he wanted to do that. Why? Why did he think that kind of abuse was important? I assume he thought he was disciplining the kids, right?
I honestly cannot say why, because I was beaten like the boys at Agape were from the time I was born. So I think it was just the religion. And I think the Bible, he used the Bible to confirm and validate what he was doing.
You know, over the years, you became determined to see that this abuse not only ended, but that the world would come to know about it, Amanda. My sense is you've succeeded. Are you feeling some sense of redemption, at least on that front?
I do. I do feel some sort of redemption. We got Circle of Hope exposed, and my parents are currently waiting their trial. So I do feel like we got something done. But it's really interesting to me how Agape has remained open for the years that they have remained open. And Circle of Hope literally took the practices of Agape and opened up under Agape.
Yeah, I'm confused. I'm confused by that, because the Star has reported that several people who have been charged in connection with crimes against students at Agape still work there. How could that possibly be true?
So when the charges happened, I was getting hit up by multiple people saying Agape was still having them there. From my understanding, they were working there under the table. I don't know why. I cannot say why. I just think that they think they're so far above the law that the law can't even touch them.
Robert, do you have any insights into why it's taking so long for Agape to get shut down?
It's a great question. I just want to touch on that previous question you asked Amanda real quick. You know, nowhere in the United States would a teacher who was charged with sexual or physical abuse be employed. They would be put on leave to protect the victims and prevent future victims. And Agape, it seems, has a lot of different political connections. You know, back when Mike Parson was a senator in 2015, he invited the Agape Boarding School staff to his office. You know, and I took a trip in 2013 when I was a student at Agape to the Missouri House, where the staff members who took us were meeting with the lawmakers who represented us. So it seemed, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, the attorney general recommended charging 22 staff members, which is pretty much every staff member working there. And under the new law that the governor signed, HB 557, it says that DSS, the attorney general, or the local prosecutor can remove the kids if there's a health or safety concern. Mm-hmm. And there's an extreme safety concern for all the children that are still at Agape.
But again, the school is still open. That's the point here.
That's
correct.
Yeah.
Yep. With 14 current lawsuits.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about a pair of boarding schools in Southwest Missouri that have been subject to all kinds of media scrutiny from The Star and others, looking at allegations of abuse that go back years. We're talking about the Agape Boarding School and Circle of Hope. You know, Robert, one thing people might wonder is, I mean, didn't parents come to visit occasionally to some of their sons at Agape? And why didn't that result in suspicions being raised that something was very, very wrong?
So the parents could not just show up at the school and say, hey, I want to see my son. They had to give the school about a month's notice before they visited their son. And you know, obviously Agape has been doing this for over 3 decades. They're not going to abuse people or abuse the boys right in front of the parents while they're there. That's why they have to give advance notice, so that way they can put on a good show for everyone.
But wouldn't the boys tell their parents, look at my back, I got scratches or scars or whatever, that there's bad things happening here?
You know, I think the answer to that is no. When my dad came there to visit me, I was scared to tell him.
Why?
And, you know, after reporting it to like the admins and the dean, what was happening, even though they knew, they never did anything. So, you know, I just thought, I mean, I don't know what I thought, honestly.
There was no point in it. It wasn't going to change anything, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Why are they going to believe me over the school?
Amanda, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to watch your own parents do the things that are alleged that they did to you. Can you begin to describe what that's been like for you and the damage that's been done here?
Kind of hard to describe what the damage has done. I have PTSD. I deal with suicidal thoughts daily. The part that messed me up the most is the fact that at Agape they had multiple staff. So the staff would be the ones doing the restraining. But at Circle of Hope, it was myself and the other teenagers. And so we were forced to be the ones restraining our peers. And that's the part that messes with myself and others at Circle of Hope a lot, because we were the ones having to force our peers down and give them that much pain. And if we didn't, we were told that we would be next. And to go on to your point, at Circle of Hope, when parents would come and visit, the girls could not leave the property. The parents and the girls would have to be within the eyesight of my parents. And so there was absolutely no way that the girls would be able to tell what was going on. One girl was smart and did say in a letter, like, oh, this reminds me of a foster family I went to. And her parents knew that that foster family was abusive. But my parents didn't catch that. And so she drove all night and got her daughter out. But it was like physically impossible for the girls to tell what was actually happening. And so, like I said, the part that messes with me the most is the fact that I, as a teenager, had to be a staff and treat the girls the way my parents wanted me to treat them, not the way that I would treat them. And so I deal with that every day.
You even at one point, Amanda, watched your father torture your brother with a cattle prod, and you were required to watch this. I mean, why? What, any idea of why your father would do such a thing?
That was to my older brother and my dad and my older brother. At one point, my older brother got to the point of fighting back. And I think that was the thing that my dad could find that was the most painful. That's how my dad was. If what he was doing to you wasn't hurting you enough, he would just find something that would hurt you more. And so I think that's just what he grabbed for him. There were other things, like he would soak his feet in bleach and things like that. But I can't tell you why he thought it was okay to use a cattle prod.
Why do you think it took so long, Amanda, for these stories to become public and go public?
I'm not sure. I know we were fighting for a long time until finally in 2020 we got that video of what it was like inside a Circle of Hope. And then from that point on, I posted the video, and hundreds of reporters that I had been reaching out to for years finally reached out to me and were willing to do a story because we had that little bit of evidence. But with Circle of Hope, my dad, my brother was a police officer in the town of El Dorado Springs, which is right by Stockton, right by Humansville.
Right.
And then my dad would get sharpshooting lessons to the police in that town. So Cedar County Sheriff's Department, my dad was super close to them. I would say, I think it was like 2015, 2016, Robert Graves became a sheriff deputy in the Cedar County Sheriff's Department. Robert Graves is the founder's son-in-law of Agape. And so they have...
They had connections, you're saying. Yeah.
Correct. They do. Yeah.
How did you get a video camera into Circle of Hope?
A former Agape student went out and visited my dad, and he got the video footage.
Do you know how he did that? How he managed to pull that off?
From my understanding, he was there acting like my dad and just was able to pull it off.
Robert, to what extent do you think this new law is going to change things? How confident are you that what's been done by the General Assembly will be enough to stave this off in the future?
Well, you know, it's a good stepping stone. It's a start. Clearly, there's still more that needs to be done. DSS and the Attorney General obviously need to have more power in this case. I have a lawsuit against Agape, and there's no amount of money that can buy you justice and closure. The only way that comes is knowing that Agape is shut down and they can't hurt any more boys there. And it's frustrating that I think the investigation started over a year ago and it's still open.
I'm wondering, Robert, about the impact of all these experiences on you and how you cope every day with it.
You know, I work in the ER now. I'm in nursing school. So it's actually pretty neat that I get to talk with youth all the time who were abused, or older people my age or even older who are abused. And I'm able to talk and help them with their abuse. And to me, that's the healing part. But, you know, I have nightmares all the time that I'm back at Agape. But I think the most healing part, A, is talking about it and publicly, and also to people at the hospital, to other patients who are struggling.
Well, it's a unbelievable story, and so terribly sorry that both of you had to endure what you had to endure here. Wishing you both the best. Robert Buckland, a survivor at Agape Boarding School. Amanda Householder, daughter of the owners of the former Circle of Hope Girls Ranch that's now been closed. Thank you both for sharing your stories, and again, all the best to both of you going forward.
Thanks, Steve.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.